we're going to talk about. And one of the words is know, and it's interesting that we had a Fanny Crosby song, I Shall Know Him. And one of the scriptures I was going to share, I'll share right off the bat as you go to Romans or John 12:1. It says in Philippians chapter 3, and you don't have to go there, but maybe make a note of it. It says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Father, as we look at precious things, Lord, help us to maybe reprioritize some things that maybe we consider somewhat precious in our life, to take up our time and efforts, Lord, that maybe just looking at the things that the Bible says are precious, to know these things and to grow in them and to show forth those things to others. Thank you so much for these dear folks today, Lord, and I pray that you would encourage them. Help us all to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help those that are discouraged tonight. Help those that are just caught up in some things that are just plaguing them, that we can get victory over them. Thank you for the Apostle Peter and also Mary of Bethany, two people, Lord, that had victory in their life, especially after resurrections, one after the resurrection of Mary's brother, seeing the power of Christ, and one after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus himself. May we learn from these two people, Lord, things in which we can grow. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, as we go into John chapter 12 here, as I get a little older, I need a reprioritize my time, you know, because I don't have as much energy as I used to have, you know. I have three grandkids with me, and it seems unfair. There should be three of me and one of them, not three of them who have already, each one, three times as much energy as I have, you know. And the idea here is that I need to reevaluate often how I'm going to use the energy I have left on this life. And I have my friend John Bellotto here. He's a great grandpa of two people, you know. And he uses his energy well for the Lord, and I'm thankful for him. And he has filled in the gaps in all our regions. And we've had the good weather, and now we have the Cleveland weather, right? You know, and we were down in Virginia. It was wonderful. For 2 weeks, we were able to canvass down in that region, 75 degrees every day. And neither one of us had headaches or sinus problems. We hit Cuyahoga County, and whammo, you know. Diana's been using nose spray. She doesn't know if it's sinuses or allergies or just living in Cleveland or the so-called lake effect, you know. But, you know, it helps us to refocus on things that are precious. We're, you know, as we look at our life, in just general terms, as most people, if you talk out, you know, as we visit folks, time is precious, isn't it? I remember Joanne Bidlin, a friend of mine. Her and I graduated from Valley Forge together almost 50 years ago. You know, Joanne passed away suddenly, and Andy is a wonderful man. He's actually like the heart of North Point Baptist Church there. I told him about the church when it started, and Brother Andy just jumped right in there. But, you know, the thing about it is time is precious. We don't know how much time we have it, and we want to redeem that time for the Lord. Our health is precious. It's very difficult to do a whole lot without good health, you know, and to just ask the Lord day by day to give us discernment on having the kind of health we need as we serve the Lord. Now, I say this in a very generic situation. Our memories, the memories we have. Number one, I'm using this in a double portion here. I have no memory left. I was wiping myself off from a shower yesterday. I didn't even remember taking a shower. I know I took a shower. I'm wet, you know. That is what you call really short-term memory issues, you know. You say, boy, if I borrow $5 from Brother Starr, he'll never know who he got it from. And that is the truth, you know. So the idea here is I tell people I have a good memory. It just don't last very long. But now it doesn't last at all. But I'm talking about precious memories. So what we have, and we think about what God has done and the good things that God has done in this church. And I appreciate each and every one of you. You know, I think as I look at my priorities, I get up early in the morning. I've been doing it for over 30 years. I don't know if it's spiritual or just because I have insomnia. My daughter thinks it's insomnia. I like to think it's partly spiritual, but that's, you have to talk to her about that. But anyway, at the time, I have an opportunity to talk to my Father in heaven. That's a precious time for me, to start out with my Father in heaven and spending some time trying to glorify His name. And I believe it's a good idea to stand alone and sit before the Lord. And Mary did this, and she did this. Let me ask you, I'll even ask for a hand. This one particular verse, maybe a lot of you enjoy this verse, maybe you try to apply it. It says in Psalm 46 and 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Are there any folks that like that verse, that use that verse in their life a lot? It's a great verse, you know. And Mary, she had the right idea, and her if you look, you don't have to look at it right now, but in Luke there, her sister Martha was cumbered and careful about many things, and that means she was full of care and full of anxiety, and she was cumbered about many things, and Mary herself wanted to be at the feet of Jesus and hear His word, you know. And there's a time, and I was with my friend Mrs. Sines, and I've been going to visit her for many decades, and her son was shot to death suddenly about 30 years ago and was at the funeral. And those type of folks, really, it's wonderful to listen to their testimony when they go through that kind of trouble. And she says, I really spend about an hour and a half every morning in the Scriptures because the Word of God is precious to her, as it is to Mary. And, you know, I think sometimes we have to reprioritize. I believe, maybe not in this room so much, but there are Christians I've come across when I visit in the evening, they have Wheel of Fortune. You know, Wheel of Fortune is the most popular show in the world. You know why? Because it has the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When they have that lady spinning the wheel, it's not like they got some cashier from Mark's and, "Hey, would you like to spin the wheel tonight?" They got a gorgeous model, you know. And then so you have guys watching it. You have big money, and you're getting all these things here. Better yet, instead of the Wheel of Fortune, we ought to have the Word of Faith operating in our life, you know. And that's what Mary did. In John chapter 12, it says, "Then Jesus, six days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard." Now, this is a very costly and anointed the feet of Jesus. This comes from India. This might be as much as a year's pay that she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of ointment. And, of course, there was disciples murmuring, specifically Judas Iscariot. And we see this example of Mary, who was still before the Lord, but she picked her time to take this belief that she had in the Lord Jesus Christ, as she saw the resurrection of her brother, to take that time and to put it into action and say, "I not only," but what Brother Roddy said the other day, take our belief and transact it into being doers of the Word. Not just hearers of the Word, but being doers of the Word. And we need, in this world that we live, and Brother John will tell you, as we go out in the neighborhood, 2 weeks ago we made over 1,000 contacts in our Northwest region, talked to dozens of people. You know what? This is an uncertain world, and these people are hurting out there. I've been to times where people were more arrogant and proud, but I'm telling you, I didn't have anybody that was hostile with me. Witnessed to dozens of people. People are looking for the answer, and we have the answer to give them. And the idea here is they need ointment. They need the Word of God. They need the precious Savior. And basically, we know that the name of Christ is precious. We know that our Savior Himself is precious. And she recognizes, and she was blooming where she was at. You know, we need to bloom where we're at. We have regionalized out our church, and I pretty well have, Diana and I have been in our area for 28 years, working it for 28 years, and we've pretty well covered over and over again, and Brother Bilardo and many others with us, going 5 miles in every direction from our home, hitting most of the homes over and over again. And at the same time, looking for people that are struggling and hurting, and letting them know about the Savior. Let's look in, we'll look in 1 Peter here. These three words I'm talking about that are important words that we may, first of all, things that we need to know, things we need to know about the Savior. Let's go to, first of all, chapter 2 and verse 4 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is an interesting book on how to suffer well for the Lord. Every chapter deals with suffering. I'll allude to that. I'll give you an outline, but I won't preach the whole thing. Just give you an outline later. But we look in chapter 2 is that our Lord Jesus is most precious. Amen? That's why we're here today, is because what Jesus did for us. And we look in chapter 2 of 1 Peter here. And verse number 4. And it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And look at verse number 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. We have a precious Savior. And we need to show other people all about our wonderful Savior. Why is he precious? Number one, he gave it all for us. Because the precious blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Look in chapter 1. This is what we need to show people, that they need to know. The first, the rhyming word is know. Look in verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were with Brother Larry on Sunday. We were visiting him over, or it was a Monday. We were visiting him on Monday, and his sister Monica was there. We had an opportunity to visit with them and so forth. And Larry had given me a contact of a friend of hers, Lisa, whose son was involved in a shooting where a person was killed. And so we met with Lisa. We met with her daughter, Daisy. In that family, there's been two people killed, and there's been two people in jail in that one family. And so we were just showing her about the precious blood of Christ that can cleanse them from all sin. They needed the Lord Jesus. The first thing they needed is to know that there's light. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope, you know. And we're trying to give them hope and give them help to bring them out of discouragement. You know what? If you're discouraged, don't camp out in discouragement. Don't camp out in depression. Camp out where the Lord Jesus is at. Be at the foot of the Lord Jesus. Seek his face continually. And that's what we need to do. And so the idea is we have the precious blood that cleanses us from all sin. Because you and I are going to go through trials. And when we see the Lord working, and sometimes we do have to figure out, is it me that's causing this? Am I shooting myself in the foot by something that I am doing? You know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. It might be pride and arrogancy or indifferent towards people. You know, we can get caught up in this holiness thing and forget about the lost people all around us. You know that? We could be in a complete spirit of disobedience when we say, I want to be a holy person, but I don't really particularly care about the people outside of the walls here. Here's what it says here in verse number 2 here. It says, "In elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherefore we greatly rejoice, though for now for a season, if need be, or in heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Paul was saying, you need to know Christ. You need to know the gospel. You need to know that we have a lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, Peter did. And he is always giving out the gospel after the resurrection. Folks were getting saved. That was his main cause. When they were walking, they were talking, they were walking in a holy manner, separate under God, telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing. And he came, when Jesus came in Mark 1, he said he came to preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel to every creature. And as we do that, we need to help those folks not only to know, but also to grow. Because when we know the Lord, we can walk with him in forgiveness. It says if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That is precious. To know that blood will cleanse you from all sin. Here's a problem with a lot of Christians. They know that that blood will cleanse them from sin. They know that their sins are forgiven. But you know what? They have trouble forgiving others. We had the other brother star last week preaching on basically temper, you know. And I have a friend that's named Brother Moon. Maybe we ought to have him next week. He's Tom Moon. We have Moon, star, Moon. You know, I don't know how that'll work out. But the idea here is we are willing to take the forgiveness God allows us to have. But at the same time, we'll grudge against a brother or a sister that sinned against us, and we're just holding on to that. We're not going to go anywhere until we give that up. I had a member of my family that was very bitter against me, and in his latter days, I came to a situation where I didn't go to him and say, I forgive you. You know, he did a lot of things bad against me, but I showed him love. I showed him compassion. I showed him I cared about his soul, because the Bible taught me that. I'm supposed to love my enemy and do good to them and pray for them and do all those things to bless them. And so much more for my family member. And that's the thing. When we look at precious things, we have a precious Father in heaven. We have our precious family here, family at home, and our friends. They need our prayers. All of us in this room in the last week have gone through some suffering. But the Lord Jesus is with us. And if God be for us, who be against us? That's a precious promise. We have, when we get into this idea of preciousness, we have the Word of God that gives the promises of God. Look in chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know, we need to approach the word of God with seriousness. Amen. All right, we read the word of God. It talks about in Isaiah 34 to read the word of God. Revelation 1 to read the word of God. And that's good. But we only retain a small part if we read the word of God. Also, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's good that we hear the word of God, but we only retain a small part of hearing the word of God. But the Bible says, study, what? To show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. How many of us are really studying the Bible? You know, pastors training us to study it and so forth and look at these verses, then also meditating. Who meditated on the word day and night? David did. In Psalm 2 and 1, chapter 1 and verse 2. What I do often is I take scriptures, and Diana and I go around, and Diana has an opportunity to take this SOS ministry in our northwest region all the time, and just take the Word of God from place to place. We were, after we were visiting in Galilean Baptist Church in Old Brooklyn, we have a friend that's basically dying of cancer. She has tongue cancer. She has it in her lungs. We've known her for decades. So Diana brought her cello to the nursing home, you know. Do we have permission? I don't know, you know. But I just went in there with authority, and no one stopped me, you know. I mean, bringing a cello into a nursing home, it did draw people's attention. So we brought it on in, and I'm just a cello lugger, you know. I actually, one of the gals at Brother Seifert's church, she has a cello lugger certificate where she can lug the cello. So I'm lugging the cello, and I'm lugging it to the third floor and around with great authority. Like I actually have like a concert going on or whatever. So they go, hey, how you doing? Doing fine. So I bring it to the room. It's just going to the room. Diana breaks out the cello. She starts playing it. And it draws a crowd. I mean, here comes a lady wheeled out, coming down there. There's an aide coming down, and they're listening to it. She played eight numbers on a cello. Then the roommate's listening. And we actually ended up witnessing to about seven people right there in that area there. Because the songs of Christ, her roommate named Sue, I was able to witness to her. Diana witnessed to this lady as in the elevator as we're going down or whatever it is. But where you're at, let them know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them know that we have a wonderful Savior. And as we go out and share the things with folks, they can grow in the grace of God. One book we're using right now working with Jeff is 1 Peter, because we want him to grow even though we are in suffering. I mentioned this idea of enduring suffering in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to give you the points here. I'm not going to preach them at all. In chapter 2, we have the example in suffering. Chapter 1, we have Christ, our example in suffering. And you can just maybe circle verse 21. For even here unto you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, and committed himself to him that judged righteously. So we have a great example in our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for me and suffered for you, that in this idea here of having a forgiving spirit, what we can do for all men. The Bible says, as we look at suffering, all people around us are suffering. Everyone in this room is suffering one way or another. If you're saved, you're really suffering because you have the old flesh. You know what I hate most in my life? I hate my flesh. I mean, my flesh didn't get saved. Did you know that? My flesh is getting even worse, you know. And I haven't watched TV for decades. And my flesh was eating this up. My friend is a news junkie. We were visiting his house for a couple of days. And I hadn't watched the news like this in a long time. And I'm looking at this, and I'm getting sick to my stomach. It's just one horrific thing after another. You know, I'm just, oh, my soul. You know, and I thought, I may never watch TV again. I mean, I'm half scared to death. I can see why Christians don't go out there. It's like, man, you know, barricade the house and, you know, turn out the lights, you know. But, I mean, Ebola plague, one person or two people in the country have it. Grab a mask, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is. They're making a big thing out of all this stuff. They have all these sensational things on. And my friend's watching it, and he's just taking it all in. He's going like this, and I'm going like, oh, you know. And I walked out of the room. I was getting sick to my stomach, you know. But I'm telling you, there are people that are suffering. And it says in chapter 3, we need to help them out. And it says in verse number 14, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not troubled of their terror, neither be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know what we need to do when people are suffering with meekness and fear? We need to evangelize. We need to tell them about the hope that's in us, you know. But we know what it is? We have developed a spirit of fear, you know. But God says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Perfect love casteth out fear. And if I find myself fearing, or John does, we work together as a team. And, you know, iron sharpens the fire. We each give each other courage as we go to door to door. And I take them, honestly, I take them in the worst neighborhoods of Cleveland. I won't take my wife in these areas. I won't take my grandkids in these areas. I take John with me, you know. And he's a bigger target. I have a friend that we worked in the projects together, and he lived in the projects, you know. And we were knocking on doors. He said, he's a black fellow, Kyle Redding. And he said, Brian, I know this house. Stand sidewise. And I said, why? He says, when they shoot through the door, it'll just graze you. Okay, Kyle, you just said it. Your call, you know. So, but there are times where I felt like maybe I get shot in the back. You know, it's just that's the way it is. But the idea is here, it's most of the time it's not that way. And people are hurting. We need courage. We need compassion. We need the love of Christ when we go out and visit these people to encourage them and evangelize them when they're suffering like this. Chapter 4, expect suffering. Every one of us, if we live for Christ, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. I was talking to Ruth Nacrovato, who was dying of cancer. She was singing along those 8 songs, Diana was on the cello, at completely peace with the Lord. And she says, I'm not taking any chemo, I'm not taking any radiation, I have COPD, which is a blockage of the lungs already. I got cancer in my lungs, I got cancer in my tongue. You can see the side of her face is full of cancer. But God has given her grace in her suffering. But so I share this with Ruth. And I'd like to have you share with others when you see them going through the suffering as a Christian. Verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Hey, we're just coming along here for the ride. You know, I realized years ago when I was just sort of going through the motions of Christianity, that basically I was just sponging it up, you know. I was a bachelor at one time. Maybe some other folks, men that were bachelors before they got married, were a little careless around the kitchen, you know. Maybe not disciplined like we should be, you know. I'm guilty of this. And I was in communications with Ohio Bell for many years, and sometimes we'd be working 16-hour shift and grab my Wheaties and on my way. And, oh, I spilled some milk. Grab a sponge and just whip it in the sink, you know. And I'm gone for 2 or 3 days. And I come back and I'm going, whoa, what is that smell, you know. And I'm checking my socks and everything like that, you know. And, oh, wow, this is awful. You know, guess what it was? It was a sponge, you know. And it was filled with old milk, you know, old spoiled milk, you know. You know what? Sometimes as a Christian, I get like that. I'm soaking it all in, you know. And I know people like that. I was at Cleveland Baptist as a visitation director. And this older fellow, he was ambulatory, very bright, just soaking it all in, you know. And I said, you know what? You have a lot of knowledge, you know. You can grow and help other people grow and study the Bible and help them memorize. He says, I don't care about other people. You know what? He was like that old sponge, just soaking it in, and just become soured against other people. We need to squeeze it out, amen? Squeeze out the Word of God and tell others what God is doing in our life. And over in Garfield Heights, I mentioned it before, I ran into Marion Wojnarowski Jr. the other day, and he has a deaf boy. Now he's adopted deaf grandchild. And John was with me after we got done visiting. We were over at Wendy's. That's our higher class place. We go to McDonald's on the weekends, but we go to Wendy's, you know, when things are going well. Maybe you don't know this. We're just wasting your money. But we were over to Wendy's there, and basically he has a daughter that adopted a deaf child. But his mother, who passed away years ago, worked as a cleaning aide area of our Cleveland Baptist Church, and she'd take prayer requests and pray for these people. A great soul winner. I might have mentioned this before. Some of you are new. She back then they had the Orange Line Garfield Heights books, street by street. She would call up and say, "This is Sophie Wojnarowski, and I want to let you know that I'm from Cleveland Baptist. I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a few minutes, how you can know you can go to heaven." That's bold. Have you ever thought of opening up your phone book and start calling people and witnessing to them? I mean, just tens of thousands of them out there. Why don't we do it? I don't know, but she did it. And she won hundreds of people to Christ at flea markets, at garage sales. She went there as an event, you know. So in your neighborhood, you know, blossom where you're at. In the stores where you go, Diane is wonderful at witnessing to people where she goes. And she can give us some ideas tomorrow. But, you know, even this week, Diana, and I'm using her for an example, not trying to lift her up, but this is what she does day in and day out. Today she went over to her young pastor's wife, who she had led to Christ a few years ago, and brought over some bakery, brought some confectionery over to her. She plays the cello. She sends out cards. She makes meals for the shut-ins. She goes and visits. She does classes with the folks and so forth. And whatsoever her hands do, she does for the Lord. She has serious health issues, but it doesn't hold her back. There's a thing called endorphins. Has anybody ever heard of endorphins? Endorphins, yeah. Endorphins is like an ingredient that you get when you're serving Christ or serving God, and you start serving other people. God puts that sort of in your system where you're able not to even feel your pain. You just walk in. I have from head to toe. I'm not kidding you. I don't know if you ever heard of Mickey Mantle. I had more injuries than Mickey Mantle, and this guy was injured over his body. But I don't feel those injuries as I'm serving the Lord. I get my mind off myself and on other people. And Diana does that all the time. She's a great example for other ladies. And I think we'll be blessed tomorrow and just some thoughts on how we can serve one another. But we, whether it be canvassing or classes for people, when people are coming into church, connect in with new people in the church. Let them know who you are. Let me give you an idea. If you are trying to get folks involved in the church, or just some thoughts here, if a person comes new in the church, notice their age. You might introduce them to somebody that's the same age they are. That makes sense, right? Or you find out they're in the same neighborhood as somebody, okay? Or maybe they have had the same kind of background. Maybe they're a truck driver or something like that. Maybe introduce them to another truck driver or someone like that. Or basically, maybe they have the same likes. Maybe they like the fish. So you introduce them to Brother Star. He likes the fish, you know. And he'll tell them about the magic bait, the Taco Bell he uses for fishing, you know, those kind of things. But the idea is get in a position where that person can be connected into. Often you'll see folks that maybe are brokenhearted. You might have a word of prayer with them or spend a few minutes with them before the services start. So the things that are precious to us, things that we know, things that we grow. The Word of God is precious, okay? They that go forth bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing this seed with him. My son has been out of church for many years, and folks are just doing precious things in his life the past few weeks here, and he is become very humble and honest. You know, some of you were here to hear the letter Sunday night about that young lady. My son will say amen to all that. My wife was with a lady the other day whose daughter feels the same way as that young lady, that we have dropped the ball in areas of interacting with folks and where they're at, where they're hurting. You know, sometimes as parents, we got to find out what's going on in their hearts and their lives. They're not little robots. If they have questions, don't put them off. Answer those questions for the little ones. Or say, I'm available to answer questions, and if I don't have the answer, I'll find out or talk to the pastor about it. But to make yourselves available for your children in these growing areas as they see the world, so when they get out in the world, they're prepared. They have the ability to defend what they believe. And then this idea of showing forth, finally, in verse number 9 here. As we have the precious word of God, we go through these precious trials. And by the way, I forgot to mention the last chapter 5 and verse number 10. After we've gone through enduring suffering, our example in Christ in suffering, our evangelizing others while we suffer, to expect suffering, we are established as we go through this in verse number 10 of chapter 5. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And so we see the Lord doing all these wonderful things. These are precious things that we have in our life. And as you look at that, and we go out and show forth the praises of God, we were with this lady, Lisa, who just has her son's in prison for first-degree murder. And we were trying to comfort her. And her daughter, Daisy, we're giving them the gospel. We're giving them, we're showing forth the praise of Him that called us out of darkness into His light. Chapter 2 is the idea of showing people this. Chapter 2 and verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Hey, it doesn't stop there, okay? We're a holy nation. We know this. We're a peculiar people. Doesn't stop there, okay? We go a little farther here. And ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And as we were sharing the gospel with these folks on Sunday, on Monday, yesterday, these different folks, these different people groups, we were showing these folks that when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and this is an important point, it says in John 3:36, is we don't have a part-time Savior. He did it all at the cross. He said it is finished. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Daisy, or Lisa, says she's asked Christ to save her over and over again. That is not saving salvation. You got to believe that when He died on the cross, He said it is finished. He did the whole deal. And you read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 through 14. He provided one time, one offering, forever. We don't have to be saved over and over again. He did it one time on the cross. We don't have to confess our sins to anybody. We go right straight to the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm in a situation where often I come across people that say, well, I have my salvation. One day I'll lose it the next. That's not salvation. Jesus salvaged me from all my sins, all my transgressions. And if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I got saved 48 and a half years ago aboard ship. You know what? I have let the Lord down. You know what it is like when you let the Lord down? I don't know about you. My grandkids love to go on escalators. I don't know if you... I like to go on escalators. I just something about escalators. I like going up and down. And sometimes we'll be over at Great Northern Mall, and they have a double escalator. And we go up it. And sometimes, we turn our back, they want to go up the down escalator. You know. And in my Christian walk, sometimes I've gone up the down escalator. And that doesn't work very well. Because I'm going in my flesh, and I'm just spinning. You know, you just go, if you're going at the pace of an escalator, you try not to get sucked into the escalator. And you got to get on the right escalator. When you're walking with the Lord, He can get you to higher ground. You know, and that means to look at your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. The reason why most people are not out telling people about the gospel is there's hidden sin in our life. If we just ask the Lord to search us, to look in our heart and investigate us, and we're going to finish over in Isaiah 58. You say, you know, I'm reading my Bible, I'm memorizing Scripture, I'm doing everything that I can, but there's nothing's happening. My son was saying, I've been asking the Lord to help me for years, and he has not answered one prayer for many years. But you know what? He was regarding iniquity in his heart. He was trying to do it his way, not God's way. There's a lot of people that have pick and choose Christianity. You know, I'll do this for the Lord, but I'm going to stick with my pornography. I'll do this for the Lord, but I'm going to stick with my cussing. I'll do this for the Lord, but I'm not going to be faithful to church. It doesn't work that way. You're a completely surrendered unto the Lord, a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And there's a young lady, not so young anymore, she was a gospel singer. She still is. And she actually, you know, had some of the good testimony, but she was just putting out gospel songs, and finally she went in Great Depression. She had many albums and things like that, and she went in depression for like 2 years, seeking the Lord, quoting out scriptures to the Lord, and the Lord just told her, not thy will, but my will be done. And she was reading Isaiah 58, and she was fasting, and she realized she was fasting in the wrong way. In verse number 6 in Isaiah 56, 58, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are outcast to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. When you get into military terms, that means it's a part of the army that marches from the back. He's got our back. Thy will be done. So she realized that she's all self-focused. And there was a guy that was laying some tile, he's sort of a lay minister, and says, you know, you're in pretty bad shape. She got down to about 100 pounds. And he says, I work under the bridge. I make hot dogs for the homeless under the bridge. And this was about 12 years ago. And so she said, I could hardly put one foot in front of the other, but I stopped camping out of my self-pity. I followed him down under the bridge and helped him make hot dogs. And she's from Mississippi, and she makes jambalaya. I never had jambalaya. Anybody ever had jambalaya? Oh, yeah, okay. Pretty good stuff, I guess. And so she can make jambalaya. So she started making jambalaya for the homeless. To make a long story short, I just got on the internet lately about her. She has 1,200 people every Tuesday coming to services. Her husband preaches to them. She likes to fish herself, but her bait is the Lord Jesus Christ. And she tells them about Christ. They feed them, first of all, tells them about Christ. They have a 20,000-foot warehouse in which recently, this last cold winter, they got 1,000 sleeping bags for these people. Coats for these people, gave them the gospel. Many of these folks have got jobs, got on the way. That woman got the vision. And I'm going to tell you, what she was saying is this. If you sincerely, in your region, where you're at, whether it be northeast, northwest, southeast, or southwest, say, Lord, I truly, you know, and I'm talking about a little bit of fasting here, I truly want to reach the homeless. I truly want to reach, with all my heart, those that are outcasts, those that are fatherless, those that are widows, those that are forgotten people, those that are lonely, those that are sick, those that are struggling. God will bring someone your way almost every day if you really want that. And that's where we got to be. You know, as you do unto the least of these, you do unto the Lord. So, what is precious to God? You know, every one of these people, if you give a glass of water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's precious. The Word of God is precious. And then we give them the promises of God. And you look at it, I won't read it in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 4. These are precious promises we can give to people about the Lord Jesus, about our Father in heaven. That you, if you go there as a friend to them and care about them, at not just some peripheral thing, not some just once in a lifetime, but just go back and love these people back and back again. She was in a situation where she came home like today and it got cold at night. And she said, I wear extravagant clothes. But, you know, when Mary gave her extravagant love to the Lord, gave this ointment, she said, I don't give anything to these people that I won't wear myself. She'll go to Walmart and buy coats for these people or whatever. But she couldn't for all the people she had down there at that particular time in her ministry. She got down on her face before God and said, Lord, these folks need coats. It's cold out there. And as she got off her face, someone called her and said, you know what? the Lord put on my heart to give you 300 colts, brand new colts. You know, God is good, amen. This is not, you know, you can go on YouTube and find this gal on YouTube, and you'll show her warehouse, and her name is Candy Christmas. Her husband came in decades ago. Her grandparents came under German, they were German people. They decided to use the name nearest holiday when they came in so they wouldn't be persecuted. Their name was Christmas. So her name is Candy Christmas. She's not of our fold. She loves the Lord. And if you want to look online, the things she is doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, it inspires you. We can get at a different level of our Christianity and get the idea of what is precious to God. The souls of men are precious. This is not just putting a Band-Aid on. This is just not a hobby. This is a way of life. Day in and day out. The Bible says daily in the temple, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Can we get to a different level? Can we prioritize our time and all the time we have? We're sending out these cards. We're going out and visiting these folks. We have Mrs. Carson over there. She's 91, 92 years old. Her niece's husband has rectal cancer now. People's lives change every week. Every week we hear about folks getting sick. Are we going to be there for them? You know, we have folks that play the instruments, and I know the kids go to nursing homes. There's no reason why we can't bring them to the homes and bring them to other areas where we could be an encouragement. I was doing door-to-door in Old Brooklyn where I live, and I had the Whiskey kids with me and other kids with me that could sing. And now they're in their 30s, but they were 10 years old. And I came across this lady that was depressed. We were knocking on doors. And I had Nikki Whiskey and Rebecca Whiskey come on over and sing to these folks. We have folks that were dying, and they come out and sing to them. Melanie Holsey, who now is a missionary in Hungary, doing those type of things. Can you use your talents, your time? But I'm going to tell you, and just one last thought, what's going to help you is have a thankful thinking life. A thankful thinking life. I have found out that God has really blessed our ministry. And just being thankful to you, thankful to all the one people around us, but thankful to God for all that He's done for us. You know, I have clothes on my back. I have food in my belly. I have shelter. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Cuba. I've been to China. I've been to the Philippines. We have so much, and we're so unthankful. And then I'll tell you, God will give you an opportunity when you do this to share with others. Every day, my wife and I, several times, try to do something extraordinary for somebody. It doesn't have to be a whole lot in the area of monetary. But I was sharing with April and Ben how my son was with me. He loves the homeless people. We were out visiting other people, and we saw a homeless person on his bicycle. And basically, he had four bags there. And you could tell he was real scruffy. And in my jacket, I keep McDonald's certificates. And so we got out ahead of him. James jumped out, and he was able to stop him and give him a certificate from McDonald's. We're going to try to put tracks on him and so forth. And so the idea here is, what's precious in your mind? Realign your priorities. And maybe some of the things that you know that you're involved in aren't that precious to God. You know, the things that you are growing in. What are you growing in? You know, and when I was younger, I was in a lot of sports. There's no problem with that, but make sure it's not your chief priority. You know, if you check your bank account, check your credit cards, you're going to find out what you love, you know, and all these type of things. We have 168 hours in a week, you know. What can we do with that time? In 20-minute segments, when we visit Mrs. Nacarado, we visit some nursing homes and other people. Where Mrs. Nacarado was, Patty, is where your brother was at, you know, visiting her brother and sharing the gospel when he called upon Christ. With Mrs. Gross, and she had a roommate at the hospital. And I actually led Mrs. Gross to Christ several years ago. But I led her roommate to Christ, you know. And other people, Brother Barth and I, 12 and a half years ago, we were involved in leading Naka when she had one child. Now she's going to have her ninth child to Christ. That was a good investment, amen? I mean, just to extend our life there. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to these nine babies. But we extend our life to say, these last few days that we have left, let's use them for the Lord Jesus Christ. What's precious in your sight ought to be precious to you. You know, Sam Lebowski was celebrating his homegoing a year ago, you know. In the two funerals, there were well over 1,000 people at his funeral. He knew what was precious. God was sovereign in his life. You saw many of you were there at the funeral. You saw what was important to him. Those children that had cancer and just going the extra mile, and it affected other people. It affected me. He had a heart for God. A heart, even though he was going through this trouble here, he realized that God is sovereign. He's with God enjoying the Lord for a year. He wouldn't want to come back here, but he would tell you the same thing I'm telling you. Do what the things that God says is precious. Precious in the sight of God is the death of the saints. Sam Lebowski was a great testimony. help many people. Precious in the sight of God is the Word of God. Precious in the sight of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. Precious in the sight of God is the trials of our faith. Precious in the sight of God is Jesus Himself. Precious in the sight of God is the promises of God. What is precious to you? You are precious in His sight. And He's looking at you. He wants you to be an honorable vessel, walking with Him, separated unto Him, and say, Lord, I with all my heart, I want to help those that are in need. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Those things are precious in God's sight. Father, we thank You so much. And as we go into prayer now and the time in which we have the missionary letter, in our region, help us to reestablish, as we go into these winter areas, Lord, to just bloom where we're planted, re-identifying where things are precious, things that we know are precious, things that we can grow in the Word of God and sharing things with people from the Word of God. Also, the things in which we can show the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I thank You for our pastor, who is so precious to us, who has made such a difference in my life, a man that shows love, precious love, just extraordinary love, and his wife as well. Bless him.